Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the show today. I'm so excited to introduce my guest, Kathy Nesbitt, who has an incredible business called Kathy's Composters. She's up in Toronto, Canada. So my second international phone call interview. So I'm excited about that. And somebody else I met on Twitter. So I just love Twitter, especially for gardening. There's tons of information out there. I was thinking today that's one of the best places to get your most up-to-date information. So if you haven't checked out gardening on Twitter, you might want to Google that, or I don't even know how you log into Twitter, I guess, and just search gardening. And Kathy's going to share a little bit more about herself with us. So hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? And you were saying this is your 13th anniversary. 13th is my new lucky number since 2013 was such a good year. So I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. So I am a worm advocate and founder of Kathy's Crawley Composters. And it is the 13th anniversary of my Great Green enterprise. And so what our business is, it's really an environmental education business with a focus on worm composting and organic diversion. Yeah, I guess in a nutshell, that's kind of me. I'm all about, food security, waste management, and doing it naturally.
Oh, I love it. All right. So I'm just going to jump right to the questions. And then, if we go off tangent or anything, or you have anything to add, just break right in. But I'd like to start out with just like, tell us about your very first gardening experience. You know, were you a little kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? How big was your, you know, what'd you grow? Anything you remember?
Yeah, so my kind of first personal experience was when I bought my house. I couldn't wait to start composting and gardening. And I love potatoes. So I planted some potatoes, and I didn't want to dig in too soon. I wanted to make sure I had some potatoes there. So by the time I stuck my hand in the soil, I pulled out a foot-long potato. I mean, it had been growing for so long. And I squealed with delight, and I've really been hooked ever since. I was like, oh my gosh, I grew this honking potato.
Cool. All right. And then, so tell us a little bit about what organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening means to you.
Really, the short of organic gardening for me means no chemicals, to grow naturally and just be building the soil, you know, feed the plant, or feed the soil, not the plant.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques?
Well, in 2002, the landfill for the Greater Toronto Area closed. Toronto is the largest city in Canada. So when the landfill for the largest city in a country closes, it's a problem, a huge problem. And so I really started my worm business or my composting business as a solution to the landfill closing. In Toronto, there are about, I think we just actually hit 6 million people. Half live in high-rise buildings, you know, condos, apartments, and, you know, multiplex where there's no space for outdoor composting. Or access to or an organic collection program. So all of the organic matter in those places is still landfilled. So this was a big opportunity, I think, where I thought, oh my gosh, it's a resource. You know, I look at the food scraps and I think rather than calling it garbage, it really is something we can use.
Nice. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
So then how did you learn how to grow organically?
So I guess trial and error, by trial and error, but I never tried chemical gardening. Okay. So not really trial and error at all, if that makes sense. I mean, I never applied any chemicals to my land. It was always compost and just seeing what worked.
Sure. No, I knew exactly what you meant. Yeah, you just tried gardening and just what worked, but you didn't try it any other way. I mean,
I didn't try adding, you know, any of those chemical fertilizers.
I know. I was just telling my last guest that I'm surprised, like, when I ask people, oh, can I, you know, interview you for my show? And they're like, well, I'm not organic. You know, I just always think everybody is. Like, it's just, you know, I grew up with a milk carton of compost on my kitchen counter and just never knew there was any other way either. So it just always surprised me when people are like, well, you know, I put fertilizer here and do this and that. And I'm like, okay. So, But I like that trial and error, because it shows people that, you know, there's challenges out there, but you're going to succeed. Like, people have been so inspirational on the show, so that's nice to hear.
Yeah, and of course, depending on the year, right? Like, what kind of weather you're having, and we have other challenges, you know, being in a bit cold climes, shorter seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. How about tell us about something that grew well this year? So where are you? Are you located right in the city of Toronto? Or?
We're just north of, we're about an hour north of Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, I bought some tomato plants to put in, and I saw tomatillos. Do you know tomatillos?
Yeah. They're green, aren't they?
They are green tomatoes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, I saw the little plant there. I bought a tomatillo plant, and last year, oh my gosh, the tomatillos took over. They self-seeded, and there's a gazillion seeds in each fruit. And so my whole garden was tomatillos. Because I've had my worm business for so long, my soil is so beautiful, I don't even need a shovel.
Nice.
So these tomatillos just took over. I actually planted more potatoes, but the potatoes didn't grow because the tomatillos took over. I grew 50 pounds of tomatillos.
Oh, my goodness. So then what'd you do with all those?
Well, then I thought, what am I going to do with all those tomatillos? I couldn't give them away because it's not something that grows really in Canada.
Uh-huh. So people didn't know what to do with
them. Except in my yard, right? And then people were like, well, what do I do with it? So they would take, you know, half a dozen. And I was like, no, you need to take a bag full of these things. Uh-huh. So I froze them. I actually ended up freezing them. And I put them in soups and whatnot over the winter. It was beautiful.
Nice. It's always, there's nothing better than getting something from the garden out in the winter, either something out of the, you know, that Mike's canned or out of the freezer, and just opening it up and being like, it's like summer coming into your kitchen.
Oh, and something you grew yourself. It tastes so delicious and yeah, beautiful.
Yep. We're just finishing up the last of the carrots from last year that are still in the fridge.
So, okay. Yeah.
And I think we used up the last of the potatoes, I don't know, probably right after the first of the new year.
So
nice. Okay, how about something you want to do different next year? You want to try new, something you're excited about to put in this season?
Yeah, so I love, you were saying about Twitter. I love Facebook for ideas. I guess Twitter as well. This year I saw, you know, about vertical gardening. Mm-hmm. So this year I saw a thing on, it may have been on Facebook or who knows where you see things. Mm-hmm. And it's a skid, you know, a pallet. You know, the pallets? Yeah. So turned on its side and you make a little vertical garden out of that. So you plant your greens in the spaces. So as far as space goes, that's going to be a beautiful addition to my garden. So you can place that wherever you want,
nice.
Depending on your sun. Yeah.
So is there, I'm all over Facebook too. And like, I belong to several Facebook gardening groups, but is there one that you like in particular more than any that you found super resourceful? Or I'm sure some people are still surprised to hear, what, there's groups on Facebook about gardening? You know,
So I'm involved, I guess, because of the worms. I'm involved with some of the worm composting forums, and just, you know, just some of the feel good. I don't participate in a lot of the negative, well, none of the negative stuff of Facebook. I just kind of block all that stuff out so that I just get the positive.
Mm-hmm. I'm lucky that way too. I don't even see a lot of the negative stuff out there. I don't know if I just like pass over because I'm a positive optimist type of person or what, but I'm pretty lucky that way.
Yeah, there's no time.
But Facebook groups are great places to pick up knowledge and learn tips about. There's one group that I belong to, the Flower Farmers, that's just full of information. Because I guess I'm kind of drawn towards the flowers and marketing flowers. So that's one of my favorite gardening ones. So
yeah, and if you have an issue, you just post your issue there and somebody will have the answer. It's amazing.
And certainly podcasting. Wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Facebook podcasting groups and helpers.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, tell me about something that didn't work so well this season.
So I said I love potatoes. That's a true story. I think I'm part Irish.
All and right. So, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much. So, and to you. So this year, last year, my husband built me a potato box, again, from social media. I saw this potato box. Did you happen to see that one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so you start just with a square at the bottom. You put your seeds in the ground, and then as your plant grows, you know, the potatoes, you got to hill them up and keep them covered. So then you just add a couple more slats, and then add soil in. So you naturally will be able to bury your potato plant, and keep it contained in this vertical box that you grow up. Well, I was so excited to to have that potato grow and have it full of potatoes like they said it would be, that I think I was forcing it. I was going too fast, adding the soil, adding the slats. Like, it's like every other day I was adding another layer on.
Oh.
And it wasn't growing that fast, even though I do have great soil.
So that's funny. Oh. Actually, Mike did that one year, and I was just looking at the picture because I was going through the garden pictures yesterday, and I was like, whatever happened to this? And I think it worked, but I think he didn't have as good a success as, I don't know, how to check with him, because sometimes I'm not always sure, but I know he did try that one year.
Yeah, it didn't. I'm going to try it again and be more patient this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Double check with him on what happened with that. But I remember I was like, is that thing still down there, right? And I was like, what happened? He's like, no, you take it apart, and then all the dirt that was in it is all spread out again.
Yeah, you take it apart, put it away, and then bring it out every year, which preserves it right over winter and whatever. Yeah, beautiful.
All right. How about something that you find is easy to grow and is generally successful every time in your climate?
Okay, so where we are, well, again, at least with my beautiful nutritious soil, I collect compost material from my neighbors. I have a box at the end of my drive, and they
really?
Yes, nice. It's wonderful. So I never really know what's going to grow, but I'm one thing for certain is the squash seeds. They always germinate, and one year I had, oh gosh, I think 8 to 10 different varieties of squash. I didn't plant any of them. And I had several 10-pound butternut squashes.
Oh.
They were dangling all over my tomatoes. It was incredible. It was an incredible sight.
Nice.
Yes.
How fun to have things come up. Now, I have to ask, one of my mom's favorite recipes for squash are the squash blossoms or pumpkin blossoms, and she picks those off the plants and makes like a fritter out of them. Have you ever tried those?
Oh, I have not. I've eaten the flowers, but I haven't actually cooked them made them into anything.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I interviewed my mom back at the beginning. I think I put the recipe on her. I'll have to check on her show notes page, but they're really good. I love fritters. And she just uses like flour and water, I think, and makes like a kind of like a pancake batter, and then just fries them in olive oil. So I think one of the secrets is you have to pat them dry when you wash the flowers. Make sure they're really dry.
Okay.
But that's always a good thing if you have lots of squash plants coming up to do.
Yes.
And they still bloom like crazy. Like, you pull those squashes off, you pull those blossoms off, you still have tons of. How about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate?
So with our shortened season, I would say there's not enough time to grow melons.
Okay.
Particularly watermelons, you know, the bigger melons. You may get some cantaloupes or the little, you know, honeydew or something, but the big melons, not enough time.
Okay. How about, what's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Do you have anything that you got to kind of force yourself to get out there and do?
You ready? Mm-hmm. I don't like scaring off the moles.
Oh.
Moles, see, they love worms. It's an ongoing battle for me because we have worms.
how do you scare them off?
Well, somebody suggested planting castor. Castor bean plants. For the mole. So I guess there's something toxic that the plant exudes that the moles don't like. So I do that. I mean, and it's a beautiful plant, by the way. The castor bean is a beautiful plant. It's really just catching them. They're, you know, moles are underground, so sometimes you do see them nesting in different areas. I've got different worm bins. Mm-hmm. So if I can catch them once the babies are born, then I can, you know, take them and put them somewhere else.
Okay.
Not in my garden. And not someone else's garden.
Right. How about your favorite activity to do in the garden?
My favorite thing to do in the garden is just stick my hands in the soil. You know, I make compost. I just love turning over my compost and just running it through my hands, looking at it, smelling it. I mean, I probably sound like a little bit of a nut job, but it's just so wonderful. It just feels like so much life in your hands when you pick up a thing of soil.
Nice.
Love it.
How about a favorite tool that you like to use? If you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what's your tool you couldn't live without?
And I guess I can't say worms.
Yeah, you can say worms, sure.
I would have to say the worms are my favorite tool because, as I mentioned earlier, I don't even need a shovel in my soil because my soil is so, it's so loose, right? My soil is so beautiful and nutritious and easy to dig in. Worms.
Okay. How about, maybe I'm going to dig a little deeper there because for me, it's pretty easy to imagine, but maybe for some of the listeners, so you know, they're probably wondering, like, are you talking about 10 worms or like 100 worms in a little, you know, like maybe explain a little more to them about like what they would want to start with if they're thinking about starting to get some worms or
so what the worm composting, it's for colder climates, it's really a wonderful way to continue composting in the winter. So it's done inside the house or inside a climate-controlled area. It's food scraps and paper, particularly for inside, rather than leaves or straw, which would be your carbon source. So just like backyard composting, the worms require a carbon-nitrogen mix. So we use shredded paper, which is a wonderful way to get rid of your confidential documents, right? You shred it up, add it to the worms, and then the worms will turn the paper and the food scraps into soil or
now,
into compost.
Do you have to worry about what paper you put in there? Can you not put like the glossy magazines?
Right.
Just stick to the newsprint? But maybe junk mail if you're shredding?
Yeah, I would stay away from the glossy magazine paper. It is too much chemicals. Mm-hmm. And the colorful flyers. I would leave those out as well. But you could put your credit card statements in once you've paid them. It's a good idea. imagine calling up MasterCard. Oh, the worms ate my statement. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to buy it. Thank you for laughing. so it's your food scraps and paper. This is aerobic process, meaning with oxygen. So it should never smell like rotting food. Mm-hmm. If it does, it's rotting food and not composting. And it's about a three to 5 months from setup to harvest with a worm bin. Now you can add these worms to an outdoor composter as well. They're not soil dwelling worms like the dew worm or the worm that comes out after a rain. These are
How big is like a compost bin that the worms that you keep in the house?
Yeah,
and
so
is it plastic or wood or cardboard or
any container will do. So the ones that I have are plastic. It's, you know, that makes it portable. It's easy to move around. But any container will do. It's the ones that I have are, you know, the Rubbermaid totes. Mm-hmm. About I guess they're about 3 feet by 2 feet. That's the perfect size. You know, then you can move it around if you need to move it to another room. And we do have a tower composter. There are a few models out there. And where you start on the bottom tray and there's holes in the bottom of each tray. When the tray fills up, you set up the second tray and the worms will follow the food. So they migrate to the second level and then so on. And you move the trays around so you don't have to be hands-on with the worms and do your harvesting manually.
No. I saw on your website, I was telling you I saw the great TED Talk, but there also a video on how to do this that I saw there?
Oh, gosh, yes, there is. Thanks for asking. Yes, I have tons of videos. The one that I would suggest if people are interested to learn more is Vermicomposting 101, and it's right in the top right corner of my website, kathyscomposters.com.
Okay, and I'll put a link in the show notes so people can just click on it and it'll go right there.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, I believe that this is a way of the future, Jackie. It's something that everybody can do. And it's a global solution. You know, it's a wonderful way to manage some of our organic matter, our food scraps and paper, turns it into soil, and then we can grow more food. So it's, you know, waste management, soil production, and food security, all in a little worm. And, you know, each worm has five hearts, so you have to love that.
Aw, a worm has five hearts?
Five hearts, I know. So wonderful.
Oh, cool. It is. And, you know, I don't think people realize what a giant problem that garbage is to our communities. And also the transportation, like in where I live, it's crazy. We haul our garbage, I think, 65 miles to the landfill for our county. We live in this giant county, and our garbage is hauled. It just drives me crazy.
It is ridiculous. And it's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a whole nother thing. But the food waste is a big, big problem. About 40% of the food that's produced in the world is thrown in the garbage. 40%, Jackie. You know, so we talk about world hunger and we have all these places that don't have enough food. It's distribution. It's not that we don't have enough food. It's that we can't get it to them.
That's a lot of what inspired me years ago when I first got my first copies of Organic Gardening Magazine from Rodale's, and I read an article about their farm trial system, and the article was all about how we can feed the world now, and it's just a matter of the will to do it, that we have, there's plenty of food on the planet, there's no shortage of food, and that you know, using organic techniques would be the better way to go, especially anywhere you have like any kind of a drought or any kind of you know, temperature that's not quite right, or too much rain, or you know, not enough rain, that you know, organic is going to outproduce. And then what an important part of, you know, composting the food scraps, and the fact that that's the key to building the soil. Like, I just think people don't realize how easy and how important it is. Also,
it's adding the nutrients. And you probably knew this, but 2015 is the International Year of Soils. Did you know?
I did not know that.
Yes. Oh, good. Woo. Yeah, the International Year of Soils. So this is a really important year to. So I'm really thrilled to be to have this opportunity to raise awareness about, you know, about the soil, about composting, and how simple it is. It's a hopeful solution for climate change and global warming. Something we can all do.
And can I read this little quote off of your website that says, good intentions and expressions of concern are not enough. Protecting the environment is the most serious challenge we face today. Every Canadian can and must get involved, not just today, but every day. From Dr. Roberta Bondar.
Yes.
I love that. And it's so true. I have a little play called Earth Day Every Day or something that we used to do with the kids about the founder of Earth Day, who was a congressman. His name was Congressman Gaylord Nelson from the United States back in the 70s. I have a cute little play about that. Yeah. Anyway, how about anything else you wanted to say about the worms, or?
Just for people to not think of worms as creepy, you know, I don't know, whatever people have issues with worms, you know, I think that if we just need to embrace what they do for us and welcome them into our homes, into our schools, into our business, so we can be more sustainable.
Thanks. So one of the challenges I always have in my garden is eating or harvesting the vegetables before they get bad, or the fruit on time before it rots. So do you have any tips for listeners on that?
Yeah, so, certainly canning and preserving, all those things. Also, dehydrating is a wonderful way to dehydrate the food. And then you can store it really indefinitely, as long as it's in a airtight, dry container.
And do you have any secrets for that work good, or tips for somebody who's never dehydrated anything? Do you use one of those special dehydrators? Or?
Yes. Yeah. So you can use your oven just on a low temperature. I'm sure there's lots of YouTube videos and information about how to do it, but you just keep your, you know, yes, you can get dehydrators for sure. If you were going to do it, you know, you would want to invest. But otherwise, you can use your oven just with a cookie sheet and put, you know, single layers of the material on, and it dehydrates. It's pretty amazing.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
that's something to preserve.
special techniques for cooking any weird or unusual foods? Anything you grow in your garden that people would not have? I mean, the tomatillos is kind of an interesting one. Anything else? Or
tomatillos, I guess, were my favorite. Mm-hmm. crazy little story. Yeah, that's it. I'm really just experimenting with raised beds now and vertical gardening and just kind of different techniques for growing. I discovered last year a system. It's actually from the States, and I can't remember if it's from Florida or whereabouts, but it's called a garden tower. Have you heard of that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the worms in the center. My husband built me one last year, and that works amazing. Because it's not touching the ground, so you don't have any slugs or any of the critter problem with that system.
Nice. So what did he build it out of? Just
out of a barrel. It's a plastic barrel, like a rain barrel type thing, or one of those drums, one of those big, yeah. And then just put the slats around the side. Up to 50 plants you can have in that. And then the center is the tube where the worms live, and you put your organic matter in there to feed the worms. Holes in the tube so the worms come in and out and fertilize the soil. It was amazing. I got incredible yields from that. All my greens, my kales, and fantastic herbs. Beautiful.
And then I wonder, like, you could almost have that indoors then, could you? Because it's a space saver. Or no, would it be and you wouldn't get enough sunlight, maybe?
You wouldn't get enough sunlight, right. And it's super heavy, like that the one that he built took four wheelbarrows of soil.
Oh, goodness, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, people ask me, are you going to bring that inside? And I thought, oh, yeah, sure, I will. And then it's like, no, it's not anywhere.
How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
You know, I don't really have a favorite recipe. I just when I want to cook something, I just Google my ingredients, and then I make something different each time.
Oh, nice. I just did that yesterday. Mike was laughing at me because I bought him a treat. They had crab legs on the manager's special at the store, and I was like, what do you eat with crab legs? I haven't made them in so long. So I just Googled what goes with crab legs, and I was surprised. It came up with some good things.
Yeah, it's like I love the internet.
Right? What a great time to be alive.
Oh, so wonderful.
All right, well, that's my next question. How about a favorite internet resource?
Again, you know, I don't have a favorite off the top of my head. Just I just love the search engine and just putting in things and never knowing what's going to come up. Sometimes I end up on the same websites, but I'm you know, often just switch my words around so I find a different website. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I think that's part of the fun of it. And then also, like you said, you shared before, like, you know, we met on Twitter, and Facebook's a good place to meet people. And then I don't know if you do Pinterest or Instagram or any of those. So
no,
I like Pinterest for gardening a lot better than I liked it for being an artist. I found there was definitely more things I was interested in gardening on Pinterest.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I'm not on Pinterest. Oh, I have an account, but I'm not really active there.
Uh-huh. I haven't really I've struggled with Pinterest for, like, you know, 2 years now trying to get it, and I haven't gotten it, but I just started the Mike's Green Garden Pinterest account, and I'm definitely finding more interesting. I think that's where I saw the tower gardening, as a matter of fact, was there. And there's tons of recipes, of course, come up. And I have to say, on my site, I've gotten more hits, I think, on my cabbage coleslaw recipe than anything else.
Okay.
Which I was surprised about. So interesting what people are looking for. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or something you're reading?
Oh, yeah. My favorite book is called Teeming with Microbes. And it's about not all, but a bunch of the players in the soil that we can't see. They're microorganisms. So... just because when we look at our soil, it tells us a lot of what's going on. If you know, we've got a weedy patch, of course, that means those conditions are right for that plant. So we can look at what's growing to see what we need to do to amend the soil if we're just aware. So that book, Teeming with Microbes, is a beautiful. Have you heard of that book? Mm-mm. Yeah. So it's really about the soil and all the microorganisms, and they have a very wonderful, easy way of writing that it makes it wonderful, you know, easy to read and understand with a bit of humor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So how about, since you do have a business, do you have any advice for listeners on, like, they wanted to start a business of any sort or anything about worms or...
Yeah, if somebody, I mean, we do need more people in Worm World, for sure. You know, the more the merrier. There's lots of opportunities. So I would say for somebody looking to get into Worm World, if you've never done worm composting before, you know, get a pound of worms and experiment, learn how to do it, and then you can expand from there. See who your market's going to be. Do you want to do worms? You want to do castings? You want to, you know, what is it that you want to do with the worms? Because there's, you know, like I said, there's tons of opportunity. You could be a waste manager, so you can get, you know, the scraps from a local restaurant or fast food outlets. You can grab, well, maybe not fast food outlets, but you know what I mean.
Well, you know, they got to throw their lettuce out somewhere in their tent.
Yeah, lettuce. Is that all they've got? But you know what I mean? Like grocery stores, restaurants, there's tons of opportunity for to get the scraps. Now, depending where people are located, right? In Canada, in certain parts of Canada, we're really progressive, keeping the organics out of the landfill. Other parts, not so much. So it depends where you're living, what opportunities are available.
Really? I really want to go to Toronto.
Do you?
Yes, on my top list of cities to visit, for sure.
Yeah, it's nice. It's beautiful.
Okay. My final question is, if there was one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there like a charity or an organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the Earth, either locally or globally or nationally?
Oh, gosh, Jackie, it's got to be a toss-up between food and water. I'm not sure. Like, water is really, we're running out.
There was just a big news thing this morning on Democracy Now! With Bill McKibben talking about the water shortage in California.
Right, yeah, California. Right, so we haven't, in Canada, so far we haven't experienced that, but it's coming. And the problem when you don't experience it is that you think it's not an issue.
Right.
Right, we can turn on the tap and water always comes out. Isn't this glorious? No, it's coming out, but there's a problem. So I think water is a big issue, right? We're running out, but we're also toxifying our water by adding chemicals, by doing all the other activities that we're doing that are harming the water. But food is kind of on the other side, you know, so they're certainly related.
Yeah, they're pretty much interconnected. And yeah. So Mike's big question's been about, you know, we've always collected rainwater, and now after, you know, the nuclear meltdown in Japan, he still wonders about, you know, is it safe? You know, one of the reactors is still, I think they've only stopped one reactor from leaking. The others are still leaking into the ocean. One of them, what did he tell me, that they lost the, the main part of it. Is like they don't even know what happened to it, and like, so is it even okay to be using the rainwater to collect in the barrels? So he doesn't really put it on our food anymore. He'll only put it either on like the flowers or in the garden, because we've collected rainwater for years, but he wonders about that. Because we, even though we're in Montana, you know, that's not that far from the Pacific Ocean for water to be going. So I think, you know, we have to really think about what we're doing to our water, and then all the fracking that's going on. And
yeah,
you know,
there are so many issues, but I think that's why if people are passionate about something, they should be vocal about it, because we need leaders right now. We don't need more sheep. We have lots of sheep out there.
You're really, you know, Al Gore has that climate leader conference things that they do. And this year, this is another one of my big inspirations to go to Toronto. This year, he's leading one in Toronto.
Oh, is he? Oh,
how to develop climate leaders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, because they're doing three training groups this spring. One's in Iowa, one's in Toronto, and the other one I think was like Florida. Somewhere I definitely was not going. Somewhere warm. And then because they want to get people geared up before Paris with the UN Climate Summit in Paris this fall. And, you know, the objective of the climate leader, like, I think you can go, you have to apply, but you have to be willing to commit to giving 10 talks within a year on climate change, because what they really want to do is get people out there teaching other people so that there's, you know, some pressure being put on the politicians that this is important to people. And so, yeah, he's building a climate leader core.
Beautiful.
So,
great.
So I like what you said. If you're passionate about something, we need leaders.
Yeah. So whatever that is, you know, like, not everybody's going to start a worm business or even get worms. That's fine. Whatever it is for you, just go ahead and, you know, be passionate about that, because there's so many areas, you know, and yeah, there's so many areas. And so we just really need to focus on whatever gets us all fired up, you know, whatever it is whatever it is for people, that then take action and be vocal.
And because I would encourage people to look at your TED Talk, because you can see your passion come out, and you're just funny. I was laughing, and just, it's a great way to inspire other people to say, well, look, you know, look what she's doing. You can do this too. And I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
I would say just get started. Just do something. Just grow something, especially something easy. If you've never grown anything in your life, you know, even just start with a little potted something so that you can grow something and then eat it, because the satisfaction factor is immense. When you grow something and you go, oh my gosh, there's that lettuce. I think I'll have a little salad tonight, you know, and then you get the kids involved, and then they're inspired. And because I think you know, we need to teach the children how to grow food, but then what to do with it. Once we've got the food, now what do we do? Right. So there's a whole art of lost cooking. Like, now I have all these vegetables, what do I do with them?
You know, that's a great point. I hadn't even really thought about that.
You know, like, we're such a disposable, instant society. We just go to the grocery store, we buy things and pop it in the microwave, and we think we're cooking from scratch. You know? Uh-huh. It's really frightening. A whole generation has lost the art of growing and cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's so important. And the kids love it.
And they love it.
Besides, so when it gets them outdoors, and yep. Well, thank you so much for being on my show today and sharing all of your knowledge and just tons of valuable information for our listeners. I know they're going to love this episode, and I know they're going to love your website when they go to it. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com. Like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.